This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids. Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. There are many factors that affect how successful a child is in school and how engaged they are in learning. Children learn differently based on their temperament, their upbringing, their previous experience in school, life circumstances, and also their intelligence and neurobiology. Many professionals and researchers also think that boys learn differently than girls. What do you think? And is your son falling behind in school? Are you concerned about his energy and focus and how well he fits in a traditional public education? I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here each week to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, childcare providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. You know, recent research suggests that more boys are now struggling academically compared to girls. The National Assessment of Educational Progress reports that girls in elementary and secondary schools across the U.S. consistently outperform boys in reading and writing. Most people believe that boys significantly outperform girls in mathematics and science, but some findings are showing that even though boys are still in the lead in that, the gap between boys and girls has been steadily shrinking. Statistics show that 70% of special education students nationwide are male, and more girls graduate high school, and in college, male students make up less than half of the undergraduates. So what do boys need, and how can we make the changes in our schools and at home? If you want to be part of this conversation, call us at 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. You can also email us at info@childhoodmatters.org. Joining us this morning in the studio is Love Weinstock. She's the assistant head of school at the East Bay School for Boys. She's been teaching and developing innovative educational enrichment programs for Bay Area youth for over 20 years. Love's teaching experience spans preschool through adults, and her previous experience includes director of service learning and public purpose at St. Paul's Episcopal School in Oakland, director of AIM High Oakland, and as a consultant in independent schools throughout the country, supporting the development of diversity and service learning programs. She also served as founding associate head of school at Making Waves Academy. It's a public charter middle school in West Contra Costa County. Love has a Master's of Arts degree in educational leadership and a California State Administrative Service credential from Mills College. She lives in San Leandro with her husband and two children. Love Weinstock, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Rona. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to meet you. And also with us is Matt Foley. He's an academic coach with Student Organizational Services, where he works with students with learning difficulties to develop organizational and executive functioning skills. For over 10 years, he's worked with teens as a teacher, academic coach, mentor, and therapist. He spent 4 years in China, Nepal, and India directing semester abroad programs for American students with an emphasis on cultural immersion and experiential curriculum development. He also works as a psychotherapist with teens and adults in the Bay Area for Coyote Coast Youth and Family Services, and we've had them on the show before. They're great people there. And Earth Circles Counseling Center. Matt is currently developing an experiential education-based leadership program for teens that's based outside of Yosemite National Park called Inner Odysseys, and he did his first trip this summer. Matt Foley, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me on, Rona.
It's a pleasure. You know, Beth Samuelson was going to be with us this morning from Student Organizational Services, and when she couldn't do it, she said, Matt's your guy.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Wonderful to meet you. So let's start off with you, Love Weinstock. You've had a lot of experience working with boys in many different settings, and also you have a boy and a girl, I think, at home. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. In what ways do you see them struggling in school? Are boys struggling in school? And also, what strategies seem to help them be engaged? You're part of a new school, the East Bay School for Boys, and you also have this other experience. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing.
Well, what I've seen is that boys really struggle with long periods of sitting, long detailed verbal directions, multiple step directions, sitting with in a passive manner where they have to listen, long assignments of writing, and long assessments that involve reading and writing.
So the struggle comes because this is required a lot in traditional education.
Yes, yes. And all of these are passive in many ways.
And so what are you doing differently? What are some of those strategies that you're doing at the school that you're currently with?
Well, we're focused on designing a curriculum that's active and kinesthetic and project-based. We integrate lots of breaks and movement throughout the day. We open each day with some kind of mind-body connection. So they're doing capoeira, they're doing yoga, they're playing cooperative games, body music games. So they spend the first hour of the day moving, and then throughout the day they are moving. We also have the boys build their own desks in the first
I saw that on your website. There's a video of them doing that. I thought that was a wonderful idea.
It was amazing to see how the boys came together and struggled through the activity. It was not easy for them, but the struggle itself built community for them. They collaborated on something meaningful, and now every day they sit at their desk that they made with their brothers at the school, and it's kind of incredible to see them.
Well, I look forward to hearing more of those stories, because I could see in the video at your website, and that's the East Bay School for Boys, that they were using math and science and problem solving and hands-on, and they were a little frustrated.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they were working in teams, and I was just really moved by that. So thank you for bringing this information to us this morning. Matt Foley, what do you see when you're coaching or mentoring boys? Do they need a different approach than girls? Are the schools addressing their needs?
Well, I guess when I think about this question, I think about how I see boys learning sort of the best, how they learn. And I see when boys are doing something, when they're moving, when they're active, when they're sort of challenged in that way, that's when they sort of really can begin to get things. So kinesthetically, I think, would be the sort of the short answer to that question.
Mm-hmm. And when you're tutoring them and mentoring them, where are they falling short in the sense? Where are they struggling in their academics?
It can be a number of issues across the board. I think what I see is usually the kids that I see at SOS, the area of mastery is not school for them. Mm-hmm. They just haven't been able to find that, whether it's because they've got ADHD, they've got an executive functioning disorder, and there's no other area in their life where they can find that sort of sense of confidence. So it's really with them, it's giving them just simple strategies to accommodate for a lot of the more difficult parts of learning. Once they find those, the green light sort of goes on for them, and mm-hmm. then the self-confidence is involved, and then they sort of everything kind of comes on board, and there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I can do this. I'm not. And there's nothing wrong with me.
I think that's really important. What he's saying is that boys lose confidence early on.
Yes. Yeah.
And once they've lost confidence, they feel discouraged, and discouragement leads to a little more acting out, a little more this, a little more that. Do you see that also, Love?
Yeah, and what we know is that failure begets failure and success begets success. And so it's important to help boys see where they can be successful, and then from that their confidence grows, and they are more willing to take academic and social risks, experience more success, and it becomes a positive cycle versus the failure cycle.
And, you know, this is true for girls, too. And,
yes.
And in this conversation today, we are focusing on boys. But, you know, if you have girls, you know, there are girls who are high energy. There are girls who have trouble with focus. There are girls who have low self-esteem. But we are trying to look at, are our schools meeting the needs? You know, I could think back to when my sons were young, one school in particular, particular was very well thought of, and my son was there, but he had a teacher who really didn't enjoy high energy boys, mm-hmm. and didn't really know how to help them fit into a classroom setting. And I think we're really get in trouble when we start out not accepting who they are. Opening up the phone lines, 1-877-372-KIDS. We're going to start taking calls. We have our first call this morning. We have Alonzo with us from Vacaville. Good morning, Alonzo.
Good morning, Nurse Rona. How are you doing this morning?
Good. And you were once a boy, weren't you?
Yes. Well, sometimes I still feel like it.
So how old is your son?
He'll be 12 in October, on October 17th.
Oh, good. So, question, comment, Alonzo?
Well, more or less of a question and a comment, but, he just starting school again, and once he takes a break from school, he has trouble getting involved with school. His mm-hmm. grades had recently mm-hmm. slipped, but they're coming back up. It seems like his attention span, for some reason, is just not there when mm-hmm. it comes to school. And, like, with homework and stuff, I have to constantly monitor him, because if I take my eyes off of him for, 5 or 6 minutes, he's headed right for the video game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's so satisfying. It's immediate feedback, yeah. and they yeah. love those video games. Alonzo, before I go to my guest, let me just ask you, has this been the way it is for him since he's been in kindergarten or first grade, or is it getting more challenging?
It's been like that, yeah, since he started school, first grade, stuff like that. And it is started getting more challenging because, I find out now I have to, monitor him and then, take more video games or video time away from him just to show him that, hey, school is first, this is more important, and everything else, has got to come second. And
yeah.
he's just not, getting it. I thought it would get easier because the routine has been the same.
Okay, good. Well, we have a lot to respond to here, and I think what's really important is, again, transitioning from summertime to school. And I think I'd like to start off with both of my guests about the outdoor work you do with boys in particular, and how that sometimes helps with that transition. Why don't we start with you, Matt?
Sure. I mean, I think I wanted to start by normalizing some of the high energy levels and some of the things that the boys are attracted to in video games. When you talk about the parts of their brains that are online, and they're really primed for action and doing. So I think that's one of the few acceptable places in our culture right now where boys can actually kind of experience that, the doing. Now, one of the things that both Love and I are sort of working on is really providing some alternatives and really building some opportunities with outdoor work, because the same thing happens in the outdoor setting. When a kid can drop in and engage on an experiential level in outdoors and experience that, they experience a sense of self, a sense of confidence, mm-hmm. That it's kind of a same sensory experience they get with video games, mm-hmm. but it's not video games.
Right. They're actually involved in a different way.
Yeah.
And I think also what he's saying is that he needs to really be that coach for his son
yeah.
and keep him on
yeah.
track. And I would imagine you see that a lot, Matt, that some kids who are distractible really do need that.
Yeah. It's like the frontal lobes. The parents are the frontal lobes for the
yes.
kid for a
yes.
certain amount of time.
That's
yes.
in my job description. I'm
yes.
a frontal lobe.
Yeah.
Love, go ahead. You wanted to respond to Alonzo?
Yeah, I think what Matt said is that it's organic behavior often for a middle school boy. And also as we move through education becomes less active and more intellectual. And for boys, that's a struggle, particularly boys in middle school. And so when his son, Alonzo, when your son sits down to do his homework, integrate breaks, plan breaks with him. Say to him, we're going to work for this period of time, and then you get to move around. The other thing we know about boys' brains is there's 15% less oxygen, so they need to be standing up and moving around. They shouldn't sit for long periods of time. And so So work with where he's at, meet him where he's at, and help him develop the strategies like standing up, moving around, talking through what he's doing, learning to ask really good questions instead of going to frustration.
And, you know, I think the video games, Alonzo, is a way to get stimulation.
Yes.
And what it does is it stimulates the frontal lobe.
Yes.
And then it re-energizes them. And also the feedback is so valuable. And so what you need to do, I believe, Alonzo, is, you know, not just see it as a punishment to take away the video games, but see it as we're going to talk about what needs to be done tonight first. And the video games do come after he accomplishes his other tasks. Mm-hmm. But it might be that walk or throwing the ball around or shooting mm-hmm. some hoops or something yeah. like that mm-hmm. also gets integrated in the work. So, Alonzo, does this make sense, what we're saying here?
Yeah, it does. You know, and I think my frustration came in where, you know, I see him, he can sit and play video games for 2-3 hours straight without moving.
That's right, because it's different. It's stimulating. Mm-hmm. And the thing about video games is you get to set the pace, and you also get positive feedback. Mm-hmm. And so it's easy. I have that kind of brain, Alonzo. You know, I have a very ADD-like brain, and I need that kind of stimulation. And that video games, TV, provide something. So just accept the fact that that's going to be easier for him and that you and he will work on a schedule so that it's incorporated, but there's a limit set on it.
Yeah.
And I think that acceptance is really important, Alonzo. And it sounds like you're a great dad who really, you know, is working hard to connect with him around all of this. But I think it's stepping back and realizing what's going on for him and letting him teach you a little bit about how he learns. We mm-hmm. have some tickets to give you this morning. We have the Exploratorium. It's a great place. Have you been there with him before?
No, we have not.
The two of you will love it in San Francisco. It's very hands-on learning. Have a great outing with him, okay?
Nurse Sharon, I appreciate it. Thank you, guest, for me too.
I will. Thank you, Alonzo. We have another call. We have Carol in Pinole. Carol, we can get your question before the break, and then we'll see how far we get. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
So my son, I ended up actually taking him out of school because the school was not meeting his needs, and I'm so encouraged to hear that there's actually schools out there that are, you know, focused on how boys learn. But it makes me wonder about all the boys that are, you know, in public school right now that are having a challenge learning the way the schools are structured, and that parents don't always know that they have a choice. They don't have to keep their boys in school. Mm-hmm. They can make other choices, or just this whole outdoor education that really seems to meet them where they are.
Mm-hmm. How is he doing with homeschooling?
He loves it.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Yeah.
Because he's able to, you know, the things that he excels at, he can do. He's actually dyslexic, so, you know, helping him figure out how to learn in different ways was so important. In a school setting, you know, you have to kind of be in the middle of the road to succeed in school.
Yeah,
you bring up some great points. Matt?
Well, I think one of the things that we see across the board at Coyote Coast and in SOS is that if a kid doesn't find their natural way of learning in an area of competency where they feel good in, then it leads to either acting out behaviors or they internalize it and they can deal with depression. And so I think, you know, you're finding the way that your son learns and giving him that opportunity is it's amazing. And that'll impact him for the rest of his life.
Yeah. And I think the fact that the schools aren't meeting those needs mm-hmm. is the part that's a shame. It's really a shame. And it's a shame for boys and girls. You know, we're about to go to a break. I know Love wants to step in here, too, and respond mm-hmm. to you. Carol, can you stay on the line for a little bit?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Oh, actually, we have a little bit more time. I was looking at the wrong clock, Felsha. So go ahead, Love. We'll let you say something before the break. Here.
Thank you for calling in, Carol. One of the things that occurred to me as you were speaking is that school defined success in such a narrow way. So for someone like your son who struggles with reading, where does he find his success? Where does he find his way, his fit? And I think that's why so many families are choosing homeschooling for boys.
Good. And I'd like Carol to respond to that when we come back from the break. We're talking about boys, how they learn. Are they failing? Are the schools failing them? In a moment, we'll take your call.
And get involved.
Call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
More with Rona Renner after this.
Here's this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Enjoy a family festival in Morgan Hill. There will be live music, arts and crafts, a kids zone, and more today, September 26th from 10 to 6. For more information, call 408-779-9444. That's 408-779-9444. Visit the Carmel Mission Fiesta in Carmel. There will be live music, dancing, games, and more today, September 26th from 11 to 5. For more information, call 831-624-8322. That's 831-624-8322. Check out the Kidrageous Carnival in Watsonville. There will be face painting, bounce houses, dunk tanks, and more today, September 26th from noon to 5. For more information, call 831-724-9100. That's 831-724-9100. Stroll the streets of San Rafael at the Downtown Farmers Market Festival. Fresh produce, live music, and children's activities. Thursday, September 30 from 6 to 9. For more information, call 415-492-8007. That's 415-492-8007. Join a celebration to welcome back the monarch butterflies to Pacific Grove with a parade and a butterfly bazaar. Saturday, October 2 from 10:30 to 2. For more information, call 831-373-3304. That's 831-373-3304. Join Nurse Rona and engage with over 100 San Francisco preschools and child-related services at Preschool Preview Night. Mark your calendars for Thursday, October 14 from 5:30 to 8. Call now to register at 415-359-2454. That's 415-359-2454. For additional information, visit our website, childhoodmatters.org. And to submit events, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Zan West.
Studies show that spending quality time together as a family boosts children's self-esteem and promotes healthy social development, especially for young children. Here are tips to build quality family time through everyday activities. Dinner is a great time to turn off the TV and spend some time asking your children about their day. Family mealtimes help teach young children valuable social skills. Also, show your children the importance of play and exercise by taking them to a local playground or park. Slides, swings, and playground equipment are great for exercise and children's imaginations. And use your time together to learn from and listen to your children, even when running errands. For example, while grocery shopping, ask your children questions about their favorite foods. For more information on programs for young children, contact your local Bay Area First Five County Commission by visiting firstfivekids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First Five.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
Today we're talking with Love Weinstock. She's the assistant head of school at the East Bay School for Boys, and Matt Foley, academic coach with Student Organizational Services. He's also a psychotherapist with Coyote Coast Youth and Family Services and Earth Circles Counseling Center. And we want to hear from you. We'd love to hear from some dads out there if you want to talk about what it was like for you as a boy, and if you have a son too. Carol, are you still with us? Oh, good. Love, you wanted to say something to Carol also about her experience.
I just wanted to validate your son's experience to say that one of the things that we need to start doing as educators is, as I mentioned, expand our definition of success in school and integrate more music and art and drama and public speaking. And when a child is struggling with reading and writing, allow them to use different tools to support them and allow dictation, because there's no study says that if you know how to read and write, you will be successful in life. And we need to expand. What is school about? It's not just about reading and writing.
That's really important. Matt, also, when you have a child with learning differences or dyslexia, learning disabilities, there really are specific things that are needed that's besides just a good approach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some of the strategies that we use it with academic coaching is really finding their learning strength, whether it be auditory, kinesthetic, verbal, visual. And that's one thing that, you know, it's funny when you look at any kid's learning style, usually it determines what their hobby is, what subjects they do well in, and really what career they'll probably choose as an adult. So really keying in on that and finding the other strengths that they have and to compensate for something like, you know, dyslexia.
Yeah, and I have mild dyslexia, and I really found that once I became a nurse and started studying nursing, it was like exactly what I needed because it was so practical, interrelationship-oriented that I just really excelled once I could do that. Carol, what are just before we hang up with you, what are a couple of the things that your son is really his strengths? What are his strengths?
Well, he grew up in a household without TV, so he never had exposure to screens, and we didn't really have tape players. And once we took him out of school, there's a library in Sacramento where they can get tape players, and he started listening to history books on tape.
Oh, that's great.
And he just soaked it up. He's like a walking encyclopedia when it comes to history.
That's great.
And you bring up a good point. If your child has dyslexia, then you could get any book on tape through that library you're talking about in Sacramento, which is a great service because we at some point we read to learn. We're not just learning to read, we're reading to learn. And if children with dyslexia or other learning reading problems are getting information auditorily, then they can excel. So good for you, Carol. I really appreciate you calling this morning. I have some tickets to the Museum of Craft and Folk Art. I don't know if he's into craft and folk art, but maybe the two of you can go and check that out.
Made a sculpture. That's perfect.
Okay, good. Carol, take good care.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Pick up the phone and get involved. Call Childhood Matters now at 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 1-877-372-KIDS.
You know, before we take another call, Love, I want you to say a little bit more about the kinds of things that you see are going on at the East Bay School for Boys. I know it's very intentional, the thinking around what boys need. Tell me a little bit more. Give me some examples.
Well, it's interesting because we went on this overnight last week, and the boys were sitting around the campfire playing with sticks, and we made a conscious decision. We are not going to tell them, do not pick up sticks. They're in the woods. They're out in the open, and they cannot help but pick up sticks. But instead, we're going to work with them on how do you safely play with sticks.
What a concept.
Yeah, instead of fighting their nature, we're nurturing their nature. And so we even allow them to climb trees during lunchtime. We have a height limit. But we have all these beautiful trees around our school, and they're asking to be climbed by the boys. And so instead of saying, no, don't climb the tree, we're talking about how do you safely climb the tree, and how high can you go until it's not safe anymore?
What a simple concept. You know, I think about Richard Louvre's work, The Last Child in the Woods, he talks about nature deficit disorder. And I think about people are so afraid of being sued, so afraid of something happening that our boys are not being allowed to. And again, I want to include girls. Girls like to climb trees, too. But boys, boy, you put a tree out there, they want to climb it. You must have seen that on your camping trip this summer, Matt.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. We actually did for 3 days, we did trail building. And we basically, my partner, Ricardo Merguia, that's what he did before he came into therapy. And we gave the guys tools. We taught them how to use the tools. And suddenly they're cutting this amazing trail through the woods to this stream. And to see them handle the tools really well, to see them really get into it, to see the final product of what they're doing was just, it was really magical for them. So to be able to build something and do something see that the results of their work was pretty impressive for them.
And I think when you work with boys, is part of this because it is different for them that they really like to do and see what they've accomplished? Do you feel like this is part of the difference between boys and girls?
I definitely feel, you know, I think that one of the points that Love made earlier was that making mistakes for boys is probably one of the, I don't know if you said this directly, but it's one of the best ways for boys to learn. And there's really a fear of making mistakes, I think, in the classroom.
Yes.
And when you can put a boy in a situation where he's going to fail, you put him with a 55-pound backpack on, and you send him up a mountain, he's definitely going to fail. He's going to hit his edge. So to be able to allow that, for them to find the resources within to manage that and then to move beyond that is just, I mean, that's the missing experience in my mind.
Well, let's take a listen now to some of the boys. Our producer, Felsha, went and talked to them at your school, Love, and let's hear what they had to say.
I'm associate producer Felsha Zuschlag, and this week I spoke with four young men at East Bay School for Boys in Berkeley. If someone were to ask you what East Bay School for Boys was like, what would you explain to them?
It's a place where you can just be yourself and make friends and learn and be active at the same time.
It's really fun.
And at the school, you actually are doing stuff instead of just writing stuff down.
It's different from other schools because, first of all, it's way smaller and we are allowed to do way more stuff. We don't just sit, we do a lot. So we're not just sitting and listening, we do whatever we're learning about.
In this school, we're allowed to like wrestle and roll around. It's hands-on and all that stuff, and we get to play games everywhere.
And how do you feel this school is different from your old school?
At my last school, there was a lot more teachers, but also a lot more kids, and the teachers wouldn't pay much attention to just one kid. And I wasn't ever excited to go to my old school. Like, I wouldn't wake up in the morning and be ready to go to school. But here, I really can't wait to come to school because we're always doing something that's really fun.
I feel like it's way different than other schools, and it's like way more like exciting to come.
At my old school, with the girls there, none of the girls liked any of the boys, even as like friends and stuff. So everybody just avoided each other, and in like PE, we almost never played sports because there's more girls in the class, and we had to vote on what we did. So we always did like what they wanted to do.
And would you recommend this school to one of your friends?
Yes, I would encourage them to come to this school.
I would tell my friends that if they were looking for a middle school, they should look at this school because it's a lot different than most middle schools and that it's just so much more fun to go to a school like this than my other school and most middle schools.
Yeah, I would encourage one of my friends to come here because I think it's a good school for pretty much a lot of boys.
I tell them that this is a cool school to go to, and we have the carpentry class, and we get to build our desks and fun stuff that boys would like, and it's not as focused on like having to like make activities that girls and boys would both like. It's just what boys want.
For Childhood Matters, I'm Felsha Zuschlag.
It's good to hear them, Love. You know, I was struck by them really stressing we don't just have to sit, we get to do. Yeah. I want to ask you, though, in response to that, for the parents who are listening and saying, yeah, but what about the academics? How are they going to really learn? What do you say when people ask that question?
Well, I think there's a misconception that doing it means that there's an absence of academic rigor. Academic rigor starts with authentic engagement. So no matter how strong your curriculum is or your academic program is designed, if the boys or the girls, the student is not engaged, it doesn't matter. Strong academics start with engagement, and that's what we do. We get the boys engaged, and they are learning about things that are relevant and important to them, and therefore it is not teacher-directed, but it's boy-directed. They are in charge of their own learning. They're responsible for their own learning.
That's really important what you're saying. And, Matt, that's where, again, parents are so concerned about the academics. And do you agree that you have to be engaged first before that's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've met a kid in the coaching practice that finds success unless they're engaged and interested. I mean, that's when, you know, at that coaching practice, that's when the wheels start to turn for boys, when they find that they have some skill, that they have some efficacy, that they can do this whole school thing. That's when you see them take it on.
Mm-hmm. And I even saw, like, when my son was in crew, you know, being part of crew gave him sort of the energy, the joy, yeah. the strength to actually get through his academics also, because yeah. he'd got to get up and do crew in the morning.
Yeah.
And it also taught him a lot of leadership and
yeah.
skills.
Yeah.
Let's take another call, 1-877-372-KIDS.
Matters.
Helpful advice, inspiration, and resources for parents.
Get involved. Call 1-877-372-KIDS.
Did you know that in San Francisco and the East Bay, one in every five children has been diagnosed with asthma? In fact, asthma is the most common reason kids are hospitalized in the Bay Area. At kidsdata.org, you can learn more about issues that affect the health and well-being of children in the Bay Area. Kidsdata.org provides easy-to-access information and resources for those who influence kids' lives. You can find data by region, topic, or demographic, such as ethnicity or age. Visit kidsdata.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the Lucille Packard Foundation for Children's Health.
Child obesity is at an all-time high. The earlier you take action to help your child have a healthy weight, the better. But good nutrition for young children isn't always easy. Here are some tips to encourage healthy eating. Make fruits and vegetables a priority. It's recommended that young children eat 5 or more servings of fruit and vegetables every day. Include at least 1 fruit or vegetable with every meal and snack. Also, offer your child a variety of healthy food choices. Children may need to try a new food about 10 times or more before they like it. If your child doesn't want to eat something, try again another time. Don't force your child to eat anything. And limit high sugar and high fat foods, including junk foods, fast foods, flavored drinks, and soft drinks. Use food for nourishment and not as a treat or reward. For more nutrition tips, contact your local Bay Area First Five County Commission by visiting firstfivekids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First Five.
One of the hardest things a parent faces is how to set clear limits with love. Here are some tips to keep in mind. Have clear rules and expectations. Have reasonable consequences for misbehavior and acknowledge respectful behavior. And try to understand why your child is acting out. Is it stress or anxiety? For more information and tips on how to discipline your child, visit www.childhoodmatters.org. And remember that world peace begins at home. This message is brought to you by the David B. Gold Foundation.
This is Nurse Rona letting you know that you can connect with Childhood Matters anytime on Facebook, Twitter, and iTunes. Now you can get the latest tips, resources, book recommendations, and share your thoughts with other parents and become part of our virtual community. As always, you can sign up for our podcasts and download past shows, community reports, and interviews. Visit childhoodmatters.org to learn more. That's childhoodmatters.org. And tell your friends.
Did you know that approximately 1 in 5 Bay Area 7th graders say they've used alcohol in the last month? By 9th grade, that number doubles to 40%. At kidsdata.org, you can learn more about issues that affect the health and well-being of children in the Bay Area. Kidsdata.org provides easy-to-access information and resources for those who influence kids' lives. You can find data by region, topic, or demographic, such as ethnicity or age. Visit kidsdata.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the Lucille Packard Foundation for Children's Health.
My darling, be home soon. It's not just these few hours, but I've been waiting since I toddled for the great relief of having you to talk to.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
We're talking with Love Weinstock. She's the assistant head of school at the East Bay School for Boys, and Matt Foley, academic coach with Student Organizational Services, and he's also a psychotherapist. I also want to remind people to go to our website, childhoodmatters.org. I have a new podcast I'm doing called Happiness Matters. I'm doing it with Dr. Christine Carter, 10-minute podcast every week you can listen to remind you about ways to bring some happiness into your life and your kids. I also want to say that, Anne, I'm so glad you called, and I'm going to send you a book also called Boys Will Be Men, Raising Our Sons for Courage, Caring, and Community, by Paul Kivel. I think you'll find this really interesting, and so will your son. Let's take more calls. We have George from Napa with us. Hi, George.
Good morning.
Good morning. You have a question for us?
I have a couple questions.
Okay, I'm gonna stick to one, though, George, because we have a lot of calls coming in. So figure out which one is most important.
All right. Yeah, that's fine. I have a 2-year-old, and I'm a single dad. And he's always been really active,
uh-huh.
And I'm just wondering, he doesn't really take naps, and it's always a battle with him to have him take a nap during the day and stuff. And I'm just wondering, what could I do?
Yeah, those little active kids, those little Energizer bunnies, boy, they're something. And I want to say that they often don't change, that they often stay that way. And so part of it is accepting that you have an Energizer bunny. I think one thing is very important is to make sure they're eating enough protein. They need to be eating good meals. Start breakfast with good protein. Make sure he's not just eating carbohydrates and, you know, that white stuff. And also know that reducing stimulation at some point in the afternoon, even if he's not napping, you're having quiet time where you're reading books to him, you have him in a nice quiet room, and even if he doesn't fall asleep, it's his time. Mm-hmm. So what it takes, George, on your part is to actually be a little more structured. Love, you're nodding your head here. You've had boys who are 2.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add for George?
Yeah, I would just say diet matters. Avoiding highly processed foods and lots of sugar. And I want to build on what you said, Rona, that quiet time during the day so that even if he's not sleeping, he's resting. His mind and body are resting.
You know, and what happens with high-energy kids is sometimes they miss that time to go to bed. And then they get another wave of energy, and then they're more irritable the next day. So you want to make sure at night that you're turning off the TV in the house, you're playing some music, and you're really trying to get him to bed by 8 o'clock. I mean, he needs 10 to 12 hours of sleep a night, George, which is challenging, right? So does that make a little sense to you?
I have been doing all those things.
Yeah.
You know, he does have a regular diet. He goes to bed at 8.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And good.
But he's still just really just ready to go out every morning.
You know,
the whole day.
That's right. And that's what you got. You got yourself, you know, the little Energizer bunny. And just start to, you know, realize that, have people help out. And you need to get enough sleep so you can keep up with him. I'll look on my bookshelf to see if I have a good book to send you about temperament and high energy kids. Thanks, George, for calling. I'm going to take another call now. And I will send you a book in the mail. We have Melissa with us, and Melissa is from Union City. Good morning, Melissa.
Hi.
Hi. Are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. What's your question?
Yeah, I just wanted to share a resource that I've been using related to Anna's call about her son.
Yeah, go ahead.
Seeming like he's not happy in a traditional school environment, but he's so interested in learning. I was very hesitant to do homeschooling because I wasn't sure that I would have time for it. So my kids are doing online school.
Uh-huh.
So it's through a public school and it doesn't cost anything extra, then it's, you know, it's a, there's a schedule that we can arrange to fit our needs, but at least shows us what needs to be done.
Well, that's really good. And how did you find out about it, Melissa? Is it through the school district?
I just saw an ad for it online, k12.com.
Okay.
And then researched it more and found out how it's connected to the school district.
Well, that's really great that you're calling in with some suggestions for Anna. I appreciate it. That's what a virtual community is about. We'll send you some tickets to the Tech Museum in San Jose, and you can take your child there with you. Thanks for joining us, Melissa. I think we're going to fit in one last call. And if they're ready, we have Jennifer in San Pablo. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, good morning. I have more like a little question and maybe a comment. It was refreshing and actually exciting to hear that somebody's actually thinking outside the box when it comes to the boys' education.
Yeah.
I have two boys and the little one's high energy, but I have a lot of nephews and stuff. And working with my boys or my nephews, you know, they could be bouncing off the wall, you know, hanging from the ceiling. But they're still paying attention.
Good point.
And it's nice to finally have, you know, people understand that, hey, they do learn, even if they're not looking at you.
Good. That's a great point, that they are learning. And you know what? We're out of time, Jennifer. So I would love you to call in again sometime. But I just like what you just said. How old are your kids?
He's 116 and 16.
Okay, well, you get the Monterey Bay Aquarium tickets today. So take your kids and have a wonderful day at Monterey Bay Aquarium, and it's good to have you join our show. Thank you. You know, as we finish up here, Love, give us a final piece of information, advice, idea for parents of boys.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about academic learning, but there's lots of different ways that for boys to be in school. And so I want to just throw out a thought about emotional development. It's really important that we encourage boys' relational skills and emotional expression, that we help them build empathy for the feelings of others and also self-understanding, and that we model and teach conflict resolution and teach them how to use I statements and communicate how they feel and what they think.
That's great. And I think, again, a lot of people thinking back to their own childhood could think, boy, that would have been nice if I learned that. Tell people how they can find out about your new school.
Oh, go to ebsfb.org, East Bay School for Boys.
Great. And again, you can see some good videos there. It's a pleasure to talk to you this morning. That's Love Weinstock. Matt Foley, a final word for us?
I'm just excited to be here and talking about this. It seems like the pendulum is kind of swinging back a little bit towards understanding how boys learn and understanding that they learn best when they're moving and doing things. And I feel like this is a movement that's going to continue. And I'm excited about East Bay School for Boys. I'm excited about Inner Odysseys. And I think this is a great direction that education is kind of going in right now.
And SOS, you know, Beth Samuelson has a great organization. How can people find out about the tutoring and mentoring that they're doing there?
Sure. It's SOS, the number 4, students.com. And there's all information there about mentoring and coaching as well.
Thank you so much, Matt Foley. And Beth will be joining us next month again. We're going to talk about alternatives after high school for boys that we also want to be looking at what kinds of things work well for them, for all children, not just boys. And I look forward to seeing her again. Thank you for joining us. Stay tuned now for our community report with Dr. David Alexander, president of the Lucille Packard Foundation for Children's Health. He's going to be talking about special needs, so don't go away.